friendship's sweeter. Knowing you're near, so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, May 20th, 2025. Oh, listening friends, stay with me. This is a great message today and tomorrow. Daring to imagine. Daring faith, the key to miracles. And today we'll learn about how your imagination can shape your life. How imagining is essential to living by faith, that great lives are built around great dreams, and God's dream for your life is bigger than yours. Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church on today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
One of the greatest gifts that God has given you is the gift of imagination. It is the ability to see things in your mind, to think and to create with mental pictures in your mind. God gave you this gift of imagination, and the reason you have this gift is because God imagines. The Bible tells us that God imagined the entire universe, and it was created. He thought it up before it became reality. The Bible says God has imagined all of history. He's already seen it all happen, even before it's happened, because he thought it up. He imagined it in advance. The Bible calls that God's foreknowledge. And you are most like your creator when you are being creative. Does that make sense? You are most like your creator, God, when you are being creative. And God gave you the ability to create with your imagination. And when you use your imagination for good and for God, God smiles. Now, everything starts with imagination. Nothing becomes reality unless first somebody thinks it up. This building did not become a reality until somebody had to think it up in their mind first. Every great business, every great company, every piece of art, every musical note, somebody imagined it before it became reality. Nothing happens unless somebody imagines it. And without imagination, you couldn't even make decisions. You see, when you start to make a decision, you imagine what would happen if I did this and what would happen if I do that. And then you make the decision. Everything that has been created on planet Earth by human beings started in the imagination of somebody's mind. And this is a gift from God. Now, imagination is a tool, and it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. And like any other gift of God, whether it's fire or water or sex or anything else, anything that God gives as a gift can be misused, abused, and perverted. And today, many people are misusing their imagination for wrong ways, to be clever in their evil. And so the Bible actually gives us three categories. There on your outline, there are some things the Bible says we should not imagine. And then there are some things that we cannot imagine because our brains aren't big enough. And then there are some things that we should imagine. Let me just talk about these for a second, just to open up the subject. There are some things the Bible says that as human beings, we should not imagine, we should not allow in our mind. And the Bible calls these evil imaginations or vain imaginations or empty imaginations. Worry is a misuse of your imagination because you imagine something in your mind and you start getting fearful about it and you go over and over and over and over and over. You're using your imagination every time you worry, but you're misusing it. It is a perversion. God didn't give you your imagination to be able to picture something and get stressed out about it. Lust is a misuse of imagination when you think of a lust in your mind over and over and over. Revenge is a misuse of imagination when you think, oh, I know how I'm going to get back at that person. You start planning and plotting in your mind, using your imagination, how you're going to get back. And they said that to you, and I'm going to say this back. That's a misuse of your imagination. The Bible tells us that the reason God flooded the earth and told Noah to build an ark is because it said in those days, all he could find was, quote, evil imaginations in people's lives. And they had taken a gift of God and they were using their imaginations for violence, using their imaginations for perversion, using their imaginations for the occult, for evil, for bad things, for dark things. And today, many people use their imaginations in very, very dark ways. You should not fill your mind with those things. So there's some things we should not imagine. But then the Bible says, the second category, there's some things that we cannot imagine. The Bible says that God is so great, we can't even imagine how great he is, how powerful he is. We look at the universe and see how great the universe is, and the universe just shows a fraction of God's greatness. The creator is certainly bigger than the creation. We can't imagine the universe. We can't even imagine the God who created the universe. The Bible says you cannot imagine, very clearly, it says it multiple times in the Bible, you can't imagine how much God loves you. God loves you so much, your brain would explode if you understood how much he loves you. God is love. It's his nature. And so you cannot understand that. The Bible says you can't imagine what heaven is going to be like. And that's why a lot of people aren't really interested in heaven, because it's so foreign to us, we can't imagine those dimensions. We're limited to time and space and distance, three dimensions here in our world. But heaven has many more dimensions than three dimensions to it. And so we can't imagine how cool, how great, how wonderful it's going to be like. 1 John 3:2 says, yes, dear friends, we're already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know this. We do know that when he comes, we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And what that verse says is that right now you can't see Jesus directly, so you're growing to be more like him a little bit at a time. But one day when Christ comes back, he says, when we see him perfectly, you're going to become perfectly like him. You're going to be transformed in that instant. And the Bible says we can't even imagine what we're going to be like when Jesus comes back. You are going to be so cool, so different, and your body will be different. And the Bible says we can't even imagine that. It's hard for us to conceive. But then there are some things we should imagine. Philippians 4:8, fix your thoughts. That means concentrate. It means focus. It means consider. It means meditate. It means imagine. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. This is what God wants you to be imagining in your mind. Lovely scenes, beautiful scenes, admirable things, things that are right, things that are good. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. These are the kind of things God wants you to imagine. Now, what I want to do this weekend is I want to show you the relationship between your imagination and faith. And I want to help you unlock your imagination in a way that's never been done before. And in order to do that, I'm not going to do a typical message where I take a text and do an exposition or an explanation of that text. Instead, I want to take texts from all over the Bible, and I want to give you a personal testimony of 8 things that I've learned about imagination and the importance of it in your life after walking with God for 50 years. All right, get out your pencils and let's look at what I've learned about God-inspired imagination. This really could make a major difference in your life if you'll let God expand the way you think about your family, your career, your life, God, and everything else. Number one, the first thing, my imagination shapes my life. My imagination shapes my life. In other words, the way you think is going to affect the way you feel, and the way you feel is going to affect the way you act. And if you want to change the way you act, you need to change the way you think. Proverbs 23, verse 7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It is God's way of saying, I want you to understand that how I work in your life is through your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. For instance, the person who says, I can't do this, and the person who says, I can't do this, are both right. They're both right. Because if you think you can't, you can't. And if you think you can, you can. The person who says, I just can't imagine that ever happening to me. Well, guess what? It won't. It won't. Because you're already doing a self-fulfilling prophecy. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by what? Your thoughts. Circle that. Your thoughts. Now, because I've always been interested in this, in the power of imagination, particularly as it relates to faith, I've collected quotes of famous people over the years about imagination, and I thought I would just share some of them with you. Here's the first one from Albert Einstein. Look up here on the screen. Einstein says, imagination is more important than knowledge. Logic will get you from A to B. Imagination will take you everywhere. See, there's no limit to your imagination. The true sign of intelligence is not knowledge, but imagination. Albert Einstein. That's interesting. Very interesting. Okay, here's one. George Bernard Shaw, the famous playwright and poet. Imagination is the beginning of creation. You imagine what you desire, you will what you imagine, and then you create what you will. In other words, Michelangelo, when he painted the Sistine Chapel, those beautiful frescoes, he had to imagine it all in his mind. He had to see it in his mind before he could put it on the wall. C.S. Lewis, the greatest Christian thinker of the last century, said, imagination is the organ of meaning. Napoleon Bonaparte, imagination rules the world. The philosopher Pascal said, imagination decides everything. William Arthur Ward said, if you can imagine it, you can achieve it. And if you can dream it, you can become it. And then that great theologian, George Lucas, you can't do it unless you imagine it. Imagine him imagining all of the Star Wars trilogies. That took quite a lot of imagination. Okay, that's George Lucas, okay? And then here are a couple other great leaders. Walt Disney said, Disneyland will never be completed. It will continue to grow as long as there's imagination left in the world. And then this quote, Saddleback will never stop growing. As long as there's one person who's not heard the good news of Jesus, we will keep reaching out. That's from the first sermon in 1980. Imagination. Now, God warned about the power of imagination being misused. And he tells the people in Babel, where they were building this giant Tower of Babel, which was going to be basically an idol. They were going to build it to reach up to God. And here's what God says in Genesis 11 about imagination. The Lord said, now that they are one people speaking one language, this is only the beginning of what they will do. Now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Notice, this is God talking. God always speaks the truth. He says, because they're one people with one language, and they're unified, they've got clear communication, he said, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Now, this is actually a warning, but there's also a teaching here. If you were a businessman, I want you to listen closely. How do you get a group of people to do the impossible? How do you make the impossible possible? Maybe you've got a project in your business that you go, man, there's no way this is going to happen. How do you get people to do the impossible? Well, he says there are three things. You need cooperation, you need communication, and you need imagination. He said you got to have cooperation. They've got to be unified, one people. You've got to have clear communication. They're speaking one language. And you've got to have imagination. And if you've got those three, that's how the impossible becomes possible. That's a little leadership tip I just thought I'd throw in there. Now, number two, second thing I've learned about imagination. Imagining is essential to living by faith. Imagination is essential to living by faith. In fact, you cannot live by faith without using your imagination. Because since you can't see God, you've got to use imagination to practice your faith. Now, Hebrews chapter 11 is the great chapter of heroes of the faith. In Hebrews 11, we have God's Hall of Fame. You know, there's a rock and roll Hall of Fame, there's a baseball Hall of Fame. Well, God has a Hall of Fame, and it's called Hebrews chapter 11. And in the Bible, he lists all the people who are the real heroes in God's book. Abraham, Moses, and Joseph, and Gideon, and all these people. And he starts off Hebrews 11 talking about faith by saying this in verse 1, defining faith. Let's read it aloud together. What is faith? It is the confident assurance that what we hope for is going to happen. It is the evidence of things we cannot yet see. Now, notice two things. Faith is a way of seeing. And he says here that God says whatever you hope for, when you believe it's going to happen, not that it might happen, that's hope. When you believe it will happen, that's faith. And he said it's the evidence of things we cannot yet see. God gave you two ways of seeing, gave every human being two ways of seeing. First, you can see through your physical eyes, That's one way of seeing. And second, you can see by the imagination in your mind. And you can picture things in your mind. And you can, you of course, you dream them, but you can visualize them. And that's another way of seeing. And when you can't see something physically, you have to imagine it in your mind. Now, it says here that faith is when we hope for something and we know it's going to happen. In order to hope for something, you have to picture it in your mind. Do you remember when you were a kid? And at Christmas time, there are gifts wrapped under the Christmas tree. And you started, you saw the ones with your name on it, and you started imagining what was inside that box. And you got excited because you thought you knew what was inside that box because you were picturing it in your mind. You could not see it, but you are imagining that gift. You are imagining that toy. And this is a tool that God says you have to use in walking on with Christ because you can't see God. So when you can't see God right now, you have to imagine. God has given us tools of imagination. Communion, the Lord's Supper, baptism, both of those symbols engage your imagination. They help us visualize, they help us picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, going under the water, coming back out, is a picture of Jesus dying and being buried and rising again. And communion is a picture of Jesus giving his body and blood for your salvation. They are tools that engage your imagination. Now, when you read the rest of Hebrews 11 about all those heroes of faith, you realize that every one of them became heroes of faith because they used their imagination. For instance, God says to Abraham, Abraham, you're 90 years old and you have no kids, but I'm going to change your name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of a great nation. Now, for about a decade, Abraham still has no kids. So he goes to a local restaurant. He said, party for two, you know, table for two. What's your name? Father of a great nation. Oh, wow, that's neat. How many kids you got? None. It'd be pretty embarrassing to be named father of a great nation and you don't have any kids. But God always calls things that are not as though they were. He names it in advance. And then he says, I want you to go outside, Abraham. And he said, I want you to count the stars at night. And he said, that's how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grand. How many are you going to have in your family tree? That's going to be the nation of Israel. That's going to be how many Jews there are in the world. Count all the stars. What is God doing when he tells Abraham to go count the stars? He is activating his imagination. He's saying, I want you to visualize what I'm going to do in your life. Look at the next verse, 2 Corinthians 4:18. We set our eyes not on what we see, but on what we cannot see. What we see will last only a short time, but what we cannot see will last forever. Now, what does that verse mean? It means that the material is temporary and the immaterial is eternal. For instance, everybody can see this chair right now. It's a wooden chair, it's material, but it's not gonna last. It won't last 500 years. This chair will decay and fall apart. It's not gonna last. It's material, and anything material isn't gonna last. On the other hand, you can't see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but they're going to last for eternity. You can't see your own soul. It's going to last for eternity. And the Bible says you need to focus on the things that are going to last, which you actually can't see with your eyes. You have to imagine them only by imagination. So my imagination shapes my life, and imagination is essential to living by faith. Number three, third thing I've learned, great lives are built on great dreams. Great lives are built around great dreams. In my lifetime, I've had the opportunity to meet a lot of very great people. Some of them are famous, some of them are not famous, because fame and greatness have nothing to do with each other. You can be famous and not be great, and you can be great and not be famous. But in great lives, they're built around great dreams. What I've discovered is that nobody is naturally a great person. You don't just, pop out of your mommy being a great person. No, you become great by attaching your life to a great cause, a great purpose, or a great dream. You need something bigger than yourself to draw you out of yourself, to make you grow better than yourself, and that's what makes you a great person. Until you have a great dream, you will never be a great woman. Until you have a great dream for your life, you will never be a great man. If you don't have a great vision, if you don't have a great dream, it is impossible for you to be great. Greatness comes from what you attach yourself to. You need something bigger than yourself that pulls you out of your self-centeredness that makes you great. Now, during Daring Faith, I want to help you unlock your imagination. And I want to help you become a more great person. And I want you to dream and to visualize and to think about how God wants to use your career, how God wants to use your future, your finances, your family, your giving, your ministry, your career. And my prayer for you is actually this next verse on your outline, Ephesians chapter 1. As your pastor, I'm praying this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind so that you can see the hope that his calling holds for you. Now notice this. May God enlighten the eyes of your mind. What's he talking about there? The eyes of your mind. He's not talking about your physical eyes. He's talking about your imagination. He's saying, I pray that your imagination will come alive, and in faith, you will be able to see God's dream for your life, God's vision for your life, God's purpose and plan for your life, God's calling on your life. God has a calling for you. Most people miss their calling in life. Why? Because they're following their dream instead of God's dream. I'm not interested in you following your dream. I'm interested in you in following God's dream. I could make up a dream for my life. I could say, you know, I dream of being a rock star, and it would be a waste of my life because God didn't wire me to be a rock star. You could say, I dream of being da-da-da-da-da-da. And last week I asked you that in the questions. It was pretty funny, some of the things that came in. God said, I want to give you my dream for your life, and that's your calling. And he says, when you understand what I've made you for, what I've built you for, what I have a vision for your life, then you're going to have hope. You will know the hope that his calling holds for you. If you want significance in your life, if you want satisfaction in your life, if you want fulfillment in your life, here's what you got to do. You got to stop following your dream for your life, and you got to start following God's dream for your life. Because God's dream, when you fulfill it, you go, this is it. This is what I was made to be. It fits. I know my niche. I know why I'm alive. Now, if you can't imagine your calling, if you can't dream God's dream, you're not really living. You're just existing. And you're just going through life, and without a dream, you're dying. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:18, where there is no vision, what does it say? The people perish. Circle that. The people perish. I tell pastors, when a church has no dream, where there's no vision in the church, the people go to another parish. Now, as I said, I want you to discover God's dream. And one of the things that I told you that during Daring Faith, I'm going to push you. I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to challenge you to discover God's dream for your life. And that leads me to number four, the fourth thing I've learned, and it's this. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. It's exponentially bigger. It's far larger. It's eternally significant. You know, there are a lot of dreams. You could have big dreams and they wouldn't be significant. You could dream of being a millionaire by a certain age or dream of being a billionaire. For what purpose? Just, do you think God put you on this planet to live for yourself? Of course not. Of course not. God's dream is for your life is bigger than your dream. Let me show you what the Bible says, Ephesians 3. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. Notice, far more than you could ever imagine. God can do that in your life or guess or request in your wildest dream. Now, let me stop there. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty big dreamer. I've never been accused of small dreaming. I've never been accused of being a tiny thinker. I have big visions in life, and yet God says, Rick, think of the greatest thing I could do in your life. Think of the greatest way I could bless your life. Dream the biggest dream, the greatest vision, and I can top that. You have no idea what God wants to do in your life. You are living such a small fraction of what you're capable of. You are doing with your life such a small portion of what God wants to do in your life. God's dream for your life is enormous. It's big. He says, I can do more than you can imagine or guess or request in your wildest dream. The Bible says he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His spirit deeply and gently within us. And by the way, the next verse after that says, so glory to God in the church, glory to God in Jesus, glory to God in all generations, and glory to God forever. Now, I want you to write this down on your outline. God wants me to dream big. Write that down. God wants me to dream big. He wants me to use the imagination that he gave me. Because dreaming big honors God. It shows faith. It shows trust. Now, you should base your dream not on what you think you could do, but you should base your dream on what you think God could do. I remember many years ago when we bought the Lake Forest property, and the word got out in Orange County that a church was going to go buy 120 acres. Let's put this in perspective. That's bigger than Disneyland. This property is bigger than Disneyland. And people said, what kind of church is this? Going to go buy 120 acres of Orange County property. Who do those people think they are? And when I heard that, I said, that's the wrong question. The question is not, who do we think we are? It's who do we think God is? That's the real issue.
Listening friend, unlock your imagination as God wants you to dream big. You've been listening to a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church, and we'll pick up right where we left off tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. Daring to Imagine. This is part of the series Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles. If you missed a portion of the broadcast, want to listen to it again or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or WLUJ.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.